This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekiness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance level 10. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents of equal or higher security clearance.
And now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 42, Dragon Con 2014, The Gun Panel, recorded on Thursday, September 18th, 2014. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the television show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the general Marvel Universe.
Because of the gun shoe!
You can find us by calling our voicemail line. 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. And we love hearing from you. Please call more. We love it when you do. You can also find us on our website, legendsofshield.com, our Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr, all by searching Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and our forums at forums.gunnageek.com, or you can search Gunna Geek on Tapitalk.
She got Tapitalk on the first time, which is better than I did last week, so woohoo!
Yeah, but it took me like 3 tries to get the website name, so...
Shh! I wasn't going to tell anybody. Edit! Hey, we have a t-shirt giveaway going on, don't we, Lauren?
Yes, we do. What would Fitz do if he got a monkey? Let us know.
Yes, let us know. We're running this until October 8th, so go ahead, give us a voicemail. Tell us what Fitz would do with the monkey, the funnier the better, and we will give you a S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt.
You know, it's funny that we talked about the monkey last week, because in the Women of Marvel podcast that came out right after that, they mentioned that some of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are being written into the comics at this point, Fitz and Simmons among them, and in the comics, Fitz is getting a monkey.
Yay! Yes! So let the artist know of the comic what Fitz can do with that monkey. Call us in here and we will make sure that it gets to the comic writers. Maybe, maybe not. They'll have to listen to the episode. But hey, we had some great feedback this week on Twitter. Adana Girl said, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. writer just referred to the tag on one of the episode commentaries as the shawarma. Sorry, Willie.
Oh, I think it was Ming-Na that called it shawarma.
Ooh.
See, I need to watch the commentaries. I haven't had
you
a chance
do.
Yet.
They are fabulous.
I really do.
I still don't have my copy. It hasn't shipped yet. Very upset.
I'll go ahead and tell you, in that same commentary, Ming-Na was saying, Catsuits aren't very forgiving, and J.I.R.S. Richards said, you are committing no sins that need to be forgiven.
That's awesome. And yes, I have ordered my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Blu-ray set from season one, and it still hasn't come in. I'm going to have to check the status of it as soon as we get off the podcast. Also, we got a nice tweet from Kodiak saying, just received my badge from Providence Base. Thank you, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Stargate Pioneer, Sith Witch, and awesome engineering girl with a picture there. So you bet, Richard, anytime. Thank you for participating in our giveaway for Coulson's badge.
And thank you for once again agreeing with me and Haley that irregardless is not a word.
Thanks for agreeing with us and the dictionary.
Yes.
Well, irregardless of that, we also have a Facebook.
I will drive there and smack you.
I am punching into my hand right now.
Willie Nelson also sent us a Facebook post. It was awesome. He says, fan and friend of the show, Willie Nelson here. To say thank you here is a shot of me with my Howard the Duck issue number 12, which has a guest appearance of the band Kissed, with a woodblock cover of my favorite character, the Hulk. And since you guys say you are like Iron Man in height, I stand at 6'4", so I can be your Hulk. And I'll tell you what, at 6'4", you probably are higher than two of us combined.
That's pretty close.
So
definitely much, much, much taller than me.
It is an awesome picture. Go to our Facebook page. Willie posted it there, and you will see all the goodness he has there.
Yeah, a whole lot of good geek, I think. I put this on the Facebook page. You have a lot of great geek accoutrements there. My thumbs up. I approve.
I'll have to share my wall art that I just got up. That's a bunch of 60s and 70s comic book covers.
Nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Also, our forum is starting to get used, which is awesome. There's some comments on back episodes, but on last week's episode, Star Saber chimed in. He said, I think there was a clip from Iron Man 2 in the featurette you guys talked about, and that's why they put the thing about how to get it at the end of the credits.
See, I haven't had a chance to go rewatch it yet, so, but if there is, that would be a good reason to have that. But still, it took me by surprise, so.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it either, and I anticipate doing so probably right after this cast, because I'll have some time. Also, we have a voicemail, also from Willie Nelson. You girls ready to listen to it?
Yes.
Yep.
Hello, this is a fan of the show, Willie Nelson, back again. I would like to thank you for that honor. And I'm here to tell you about my wings wrong moment of the decade. Back on an earlier podcast, before they were part of the Gunna Geek Network, they did a certain movie review of Demolition Man. And everyone saw it and enjoyed it, but for some reason Wing went and watched it in French, so everyone was spouting out the quotes from the movie, and he was just not understanding it. And I just think, man, that was just something wrong for him to do. Everyone was just spouting out the quotes, and he just wasn't getting it. Well, thank you very much. Howard the Duck is one of my most favorite characters. I loved that movie from when I was a kid. Can't wait to get that. Thank you, SP and Lovelies, for the incredible offer. Willie Nelson out.
Yeah, Wink has a tendency to be wrong about a great many things. And one of the things is watching stuff in French and not getting the quotes that we all know. So. Bad him. Boo Wing. Boo Wing. But yes.
Demolition Man is such a weird movie to watch in like French.
It's got to be.
It's kind of a weird movie to watch in general.
I love it. It's great.
I mean, it's a fun movie, but I first saw it when I was like really little. I kind of snuck watch it from the back of the couch when I wasn't supposed to be awake. So I think that might be coloring my memory of it.
Did the three seashells haunt you for a long time?
God, I can't even remember. So probably not.
Take this job and shovel it. Close enough. Yeah, so if you guys want to call in with any Wing is Wrong moment, we would greatly appreciate that, and I will play them and make sure Wing gets to hear it. Yes, even if he doesn't listen to the podcast, which I know he does, but even if he doesn't, I will make sure he listens to it. Also, again, if you guys have any science questions about Marvel, S.H.I.E.L.D., the movies, whatever, call them in because we actually have three qualified people here that love to talk about it.
Yes, we do. And we are qualified in many types of science.
So go ahead, send us your science questions. Basically, how are things working? You have to hit the I believe button and you just want to not do that and just talk about the actual specifics for a second. We'll be great on that.
Yeah. Or if you want to send in your own theory about how you think something works, we'd love to spitball with you guys.
Yeah. That'd be
or if you
awesome.
Just want to rant, like sometimes you just need to rant about comic book science. Trust me.
Like magnets do not work that way.
Like genetics do not work that way, but whatever. I'm still an X-Men fan.
Orbital mechanics. Come on, people. Okay. So, yes, give us your questions. You can, you know, it would probably be best if you call them in, but you can get us via email. Go to our webpage. Top right hand corner is the three of ours gonna geek.com email addresses. Also, everything we said before, the Twitters, Facebooks, whatever, just get it to us. Voicemail would be best though, as we're talking on a podcast. So, this past weekend, we had a momentous occasion happening with our favorite latest Marvel movie.
Okay, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy box office numbers. Domestic right now, it is at $307.9 million.
Woohoo!
Which,
that's
you know,
a lot of money.
Nice little chunk of change. And worldwide, we're up to $618.5 million.
At a production budget of $170 million, they have definitely made their money. I'm assuming that even with all the marketing they did, it was under 300. I could be grossly mistaken about that. So somebody made a lot of money on this. Yay! And they deserve it. It was a great movie. And remember, October 10th, it opens in China.
So I think we all feel pretty confident in saying that it's going to surpass Captain America. Probably move up into the number 3 spot for worldwide box offices of Marvel movies.
I think so, yeah.
I think it lucked out. I think, I don't know if they did this intentionally or not, but it was placed in one of the few lulls in the movie calendar between 2013, really, and 2016. And it just had the opportunity to make a lot of money. It wasn't sandwiched up against a next mega box office hit.
It just kind of caught that tail of summer and is still riding it.
Yes. And you know what? I still haven't seen it a third time. If I get I know I've been saying it the last few weeks, but if I get a chance, I might go see it this weekend. I don't know. There's football to watch, so we'll see.
This weekend, I'm going to be watching Tusk, so.
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to let me know how that is.
Yeah, it's a guy sewn up in a walrus suit. What's not to like?
But you know what else is coming up next week?
Isn't there like a TV show or something coming back?
Yeah, maybe.
Yes. Next Tuesday. So as we record this, we're what, 5 days away?
I can't count.
I know. Probably. I know. It's like, whatever it is. Yeah, we're 5.
That sounds about right.
As we record, we're 5 days away from the season 2 premiere of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Woohoo!
Woot. So last week we talked about the episode names for episode 1 and 2. This week, they gave out the episode name for the third episode.
Yeah, it's called Making Friends and Influencing People.
Awesome. Great book, by the way.
I've never read it.
It's kind of a mandatory if you're in sales, but seems as though I'm not in sales. I just used it as I was an engineer and had absolutely no people skills as a younger man.
I am in sales, but I don't work on commission, so I don't care.
It has applications beyond that, but as a salesperson, it is something that you should watch.
Or I'm just naturally charming, so.
You are. You are.
I'm a ray of sunshine.
And also, talking about ray of sunshine, we have news about Scott Glenn.
Yeah, he's going to be joining the cast of Daredevil as Stick. And Woo! In the comics, Stick is Daredevil's mentor.
Oh. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you might remember him as played by Terrence Stamp in the really, really bad Elektra movie. But Scott Glenn, okay, it's like everyone has what they best know Scott Glenn from. I best know him as Agent Jack Crawford from Silence of the Lambs.
And I first ran into him with The Right Stuff, but I also remember him from a bunch of other stuff. And I know he was in that stupid-ass movie, Sucker Punch.
Yeah, he was. Also, he's in The Leftovers, those of y'all who were just watching it.
Yeah, a great actor. I'm really excited to see him out there, especially in a mentorship role. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Also, we have another cast news from Agent Carter with James Darcy.
Yeah, he's going to be playing Edwin Jarvis, who is Howard Stark's butler.
Woot.
Yes. We were talking about this position, I don't know, a few weeks back, and that is going to be a definite pivotal position in the future as we go along into Agent Carter and the startup of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm excited to see how he is on the show.
You have to have him be awesome enough that later on in life, Tony Stark would backronym his AI into his name. So I got high hopes, yes, is what I'm saying. And James Darcy, he's been in a couple of leading roles. He's not really like a household name here in the US anyway. I'm not sure about elsewhere. But he was in Master and Commander. I think that's pretty much one of the few things that I've seen him in. And apparently he's going to be in season 2 of Broadchurch, which I highly enjoyed. And I'm probably going to watch Grace Point, even though I'm just going to grumble about either how different it is from the original or how much they changed it from the original. So either way, I will never be happy. Also, I think David Tennant's trying to do an American accent in the previews that I've seen.
That's always disappointing. Like when Alex Kingston does her American accent in, what is it, Arrow?
Arrow, yeah.
Ugh. Like, just let him be British.
When she was in ER, I believe, didn't she have
she was British?
Yeah. No, she was British.
That's how I first knew her in ER when I was watching that years ago. But talking about somebody else of ER fame, Ming-Na Wen has an interview.
Yeah, she did an interview with Marvel. They're kind of doing a series of interviews called Rebuilding S.H.I.E.L.D. And, you know, she just goes and shows how awesome she is. She talks a little bit about how she's going to be playing more of a mentor role to Sky in the upcoming season. And she also mentions that, yes, she wants to be a mentor to Sky, and she thinks Sky has the potential to be an excellent agent. But she's also watching Sky the way that she was watching Coulson last season to see if the serum is going to have any effects on her.
Yeah. Do you think she's also going to be watching Coulson or just Sky?
I think she's going to be watching both of them.
Yeah. She's just too good. She's awesome.
Yes.
Nail Hydra.
Yeah.
Nail Hydra.
Well, and then there's a picture of her working out with BJ Britt and Nick Blood, and they're all just like curling massive amounts of weight.
Ming-Na is?
Yes, Ming-Na is.
Wow.
They look like they're at least 20-pound weights. They might be bigger than that.
That's a big curl. If for those of you that don't lift, curling is, it's isolating one muscle, your bicep, and it's harder than you think. Let me put it that way.
I have weak little noodly arms. It's hard with like 5-pound weights for me.
And it takes a long time to move up in weight, at least for me. Maybe some other guys out there are blessed with the ability to go up in weight a lot
like
sooner.
Nick Blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking a little cut there.
You never know how long it took him to get to that point, though.
Yeah. So every time I read the name Nick Blood, I think that's the new character that's joining.
I know, right?
Because that's such a comic book name. And then it's like, no, he's even comic bookier than that. Lance Hunter.
I don't know for sure, but I'll bet you that's a stage name. It's got to be.
I don't know. I mean, some people name their kids weird stuff.
Well, they just named him Nick.
Okay, good point. Good point. But his last name is Blood, and that's awesome.
He comes from a long line of executioners.
Or pirates.
Possibly.
I mean, Captain Blood, come on.
Well, talking about Nick Blood, he also did an interview.
If he didn't like swashbuckle his way in, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah. He talks a little bit about what it's like to be the new guy on the set, and he's like, yeah, they've just been hazing me, and I'm really an outsider. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we don't know anything about that. Lauren, the new guy on the set, you don't know anything about that.
Oh, I thought you meant that I'd been hazing you.
Well, you know, after you're in for a while, yes, that started, but at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, no, it was terrible. Terrible. Mm.
Yeah, we're such a harsh cast to work with, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. I had to, like, lift rocks.
I have no idea what that means, but...
It means I was moving rocks from one place to another. There's nothing behind it.
Nothing behind the rocks or nothing behind the stating that
you
were moving rocks?
Either, because you guys are mean.
From behind?
Well, talking about other rocks...
You can't segue from that.
I'm the master of segue. I've learned from the best. Operator has taught me well. In any event, Avengers Age of Ultron synopsis. Go, Haley.
You could have said something about behind the scenes.
Talking about from behind.
I have an entirely different picture in my mind when you say that.
Oh, they issued an official synopsis for Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. It's basically what we kind of have gathered just based on posters and interviews and things like that. Tony builds Ultron to be a peacekeeping program, and things go awry, and the Avengers have to stop them.
Hmm. Sounds like everything we've thought so far.
Yep. But this is official.
Okay. I found myself unable to remember because I remember less about the second season of Earth's Mightiest Heroes than the first. This is basically what happened in Earth's Mightiest Heroes 2, right? Or no? No.
I don't remember when it happened. Well, in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Ultron was the prison guard system for one of the prisons.
It was Hank Pym that created him. I was right. Scott was wrong. Okay.
Yes. I feel like it was maybe mid-season one.
Yeah.
But I'm not positive about that.
But Tony did invent Ultron in Next Avengers. But I was trying to remember, like, when did Ultron show up? And that it didn't feel right that Tony invented him in Earth's Mightiest Heroes. But I was like, okay, when did he show up and become this huge threat? And I forgot all about Hank creating him as the teeny tiny little prison guard for the teeny tiny little prison.
The dollhouse?
Yes.
Isn't that what it was called? Yes.
I think it's called the dollhouse, yeah.
I need to rewatch that. I haven't seen it in a few months.
See, I thought the Earth's Mightiest Heroes was a band of young Japanese kids that find an old battleship and had converted into a spaceship and took it on to beat aliens. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Star Blazers. Sorry.
That's whatever you're talking about for you.
I haven't seen Star Blazers.
Yeah, it's me dated. Either. You had to go through it at the time, I guess. Well, what we have right now in time, though, are promo picks from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. First episode, Shadows.
Yeah, Marvel said that they're going to be doing this every week before the new episode comes out, putting out some exclusive pictures.
Haley Atwell. Nice.
Yes, we have Haley Atwell looking fabulous.
Yes.
We have Adrian Pazdar and Adrian Pazdar's mustache.
Patton Oswalt making the funniest face right now.
And doing something with his hands. I don't know what's going on.
He's making a point. He's making a point very emphatically, or else he's telling everybody to look up and being very upset about it.
Or he's getting ready to make a field goal so somebody can kick a paper football.
Or he's upset that two people don't have their lanyards.
Or he's about to bring his hands together so that his fingers are right next to each other in some sort of weird, probably obscene gesture.
Maybe he's in the moment. It isn't quite fully there yet that he is doing the Nixon, "I am not a crook."
But either way, he has a funny expression and he's holding two fingers up, like one on each hand.
Yep.
Very emphatic.
Also, we have a nice Hydra shield that looks like it's metal.
They're going to the Hydra municipal building, I guess.
Because, well, you know, there is one.
Because you really need a giant emblem outside your secret organization's base.
I mean, if I've learned nothing from watching G.I. Joe, which is, by the way, a ripoff of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, and there's actually another cartoon out there that, well, we won't get into that. But there is a great still of Lucy Lawless, Ming-Na, and the new guys who we don't care about. And the back of what we think is Coulson's head.
Looks like Coulson.
Yeah. I am so looking forward to seeing Lucy Lawless in this show. I'm so excited about it.
And look at her Lucy shirt. Lawless. I mean, she is dressed like she's going to take apart something, whether it's mechanical or somebody's body. I mean, she's looks like she's going to do it.
You know what would just make my month, or probably my year, is if she did like the Xena yell and then bicycle kicked some guys in the head.
That'd be awesome.
Or if she just like threw something round.
That would be amazing.
So we also, this week, got another quick 30-second season 2 preview.
Yeah, and it's got some awesome music in it. It's got Highway to Hell, and there's fighting and talking and stuff. It's a preview.
And car crashes. Did anybody else get a Captain America 2 vibe from that SUV going over?
You're probably supposed to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'd imagine they want it to feel still like that sort of general extension of, I don't know.
Similar but legally distinct?
Yes, similar to but legally distinct from.
Okay. And I don't think they have to be legally distinct because it's the same company.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the official Avengers 2 synopsis before, but there was an article on Cinema Blend this week on why Ant-Man is going to play a huge role in Avengers 2.
Because he grows.
What you did there. I see it.
Well, some of it is kind of debunked by the Avengers official synopsis, like Tony Stark wasn't actually going to create Ultron, but we all know that's officially true now. But it's also stated that Hank Pym and Howard Stark may have created Ultron together. So I don't know how much credence to throw into this, but it was out there. It was a neat theory, so it's in the news. Deal with it.
Well, it's a way for them to at least keep that nod to, you know, because it does say the synopsis for Avengers Age of Ultron has the following nugget in its opening. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, which you can read as it was previously there, he tries to, you know, make it better.
Yeah, just like the arc reactor. I could see that.
Yeah.
That could work.
Well, you could read it that way, or you could read, I don't know. We'll see when it comes out, I guess.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Haley?
I don't know, maybe.
It'd be an interesting connection.
I don't know how complicated they're going to want to make something like the origin of Ultron when really the story is going to be and how they deal with him once they get him.
Well, you got to figure, since they're not going to have every character in every movie, even the ensemble movies that they do, even in the ensemble movies and every other movie, there's been nods here and there. Now, it's not complete nods across the board, but they do simple nods like that. So it's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, you could get like the design or the patent out and it's signed off to Howard Stark and Hank Pym.
Yeah, right. Just like they did in Iron Man 2 with the patent to the
arc reactor.
Arc reactor, yeah. We are Groot.
We are Groot.
We are Groot.
And you can now text Groot.
Yay! I mean, you can actually text somebody named Groot.
Well, you can text a number and Groot, finger quotes, will respond with, I am Groot. And then you text again and Groot will respond, I am Groot. TechCrunch has an article just talking about that and giving out the phone number and... Quote from the article, shoot him a text and prepare yourself for some of the deepest conversations you've ever had. Save it to your address books and blow your friends' minds, or at the very least, mildly amuse them for 10 seconds next time you're at a bar. And it is not an official Marvel thing. It's just kind of a gag by a Twilio employee, but you can text Groot.
Okay, we're going to do a live experiment right now. I have my phone out, okay. And I am texting the number, which is 866-740-4531. And I am going to text... We'll start with something simple. Hello. And it is sending. And of course, this is an iPhone 4S, so it takes forever.
Haha.
We'll have to continue this conversation because there's something coming back. So.
Apparently, Groot is in quite a lot of demand.
It must be. Must be. And another thing that looks awesomely scary and cool at the same time is this Japanese rocket raccoon robot video.
Yes, there is a video. We're linking to it. It's on YouTube. They have built a life-sized animatronic rocket raccoon. And in the video, they're, I guess, interviewing him in Japanese. And he's answering back in Japanese. And I have no idea what's going on because I can only speak about 3 or 4 words of Japanese.
Which is 3 or 4 words more than I can.
Well... When we watch anime and Japanese movies, we tend to watch it in Japanese, and you start to pick up a few things. But it's kind of weird. He moves like a robot, but it's Rocket. It's kind of weird. I guess this is kind of what it could have looked like if they had made Guardians of the Galaxy in the early 90s. You know, back when Jim Henson Studios was doing all that sort of stuff.
You know what, though? I think this would be an awesome addition to the Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Groot shows up, blows the hell out of everybody, takes the treasure and runs.
Yeah, because, I mean, they're like...
Did I say Groot or Rocket? Because it would be both of
you
them.
You said Groot. Yeah.
Okay, well, it'd be both. Groot be there, too. I mean,
Groot and then Rocket shooting the crap out of it. Because if you've ever been... Spoilers for those of you that have never been. But for those of you that have been, you go through the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. You get in this boat-like thing and you float through the whole thing. And at the end... There's this big cannon battle between, I think it's a shore, it could be another ship, and a ship, and they're doing cannon shots across. And then, you know, of course, there's no actual cannon balls being flung, but they do the water explosions and it goes up. It was there the last time it was. And if you get Groot out there with his automatic weapon, you could have a lot of gunfire going back and forth. And yeah, he could win the treasure. He should win the treasure.
Seriously, Rocket busts out of the prison where those guys can't get the keys from the dog. He takes all the treasure that they're looting from the town. And then he uses Groot as a boat because wood floats. And they float away and steal one of those ships and take off and live happily ever after.
Would he be dressed like Guardians of the Galaxy or would he be dressed like a pirate?
No, he has to be dressed like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Would he have an eye patch?
I think Groot could have
an eye patch.
Groot would dress as a pirate.
He would.
He would have the hat. And like
Groot could
bandolier.
Take a pirate hat. Yes.
Okay.
That would be amazing.
So I've been texting Groot back and forth. And I said, hello. And he says, I am Groot. And I say, I am SP. And he says, I am Groot. And I say, how are you? And he says, I am Groot. And I say, where is Rocket? And he says, I am Groot. So I think I'm about done with this conversation at this point in time.
You can't get him to endorse our show first.
Okay. Well, let's try that. Can you please endorse Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
And I wonder what he's going to say.
I don't know. I hope it's We Are Groot.
That'd be cool.
That would be so cool.
We can put that in our podcast description on iTunes. Groot says about Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I am Groot.
And I am Groot. So
awesome. We're endorsed.
Thank you very much, Groot.
You heard it here first.
Groot approved.
So something else that's coming up that we just found out about is Fox is actually putting together a Deadpool movie with a release date.
Okay, so we've been hearing about the Deadpool movie. Okay, what year did Wolverine Origins come out in? Whatever year it was. Yeah, whatever year
since
it was.
Since then, that's when we started
since
hearing
then,
about it.
That's when we started hearing about it. As of today, Thursday the 18th, Fox has announced that they now have a release date, which is February 12th, 2016. Tim Miller is set to direct the film, and Ryan Reynolds is still rumored to star. So
but that's not confirmed.
Yeah, it's not confirmed, but we'll see. But yeah, it looks like now they are kind of committing to this instead of just kind of dancing around.
I'm so confused. So does this mean the Green Lantern is in the Deadpool movie, or does this mean that Ryan Reynolds is playing Deadpool? I don't know.
Oh, hush you.
Come on, man.
Your understanding of movies is as antiquated as your phone.
I feel like I should be insulted because I have the same phone, but it was still funny.
My upgrade comes out on October 11th. That is when I will order, probably not get because they're delayed, an iPhone 6 Plus. So, ha!
I'm just waiting for the price drop to be announced and then I can get an iPhone 5 whatever.
I think that's already announced that it started last Friday, the iPhone 5S.
Oh, good.
Good luck.
Walmart has the iPhone 5 for $79.
Hmm. Unlocked or locked?
With a contract.
Yeah, 2-year contract. Okay. So, talking about stuff getting delayed, like the iPhone 6 Plus, Fantastic Four also is delayed.
Yes, it is. But not that far delayed. They moved from June 19th, 2015 to August 7th, 2015. According to this article on comicbookmovie.com, the rumored reason is for reshoots or post-production issues.
Nobody broke a leg or twisted an ankle by any chance, right?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Okay.
I think they've already finished principal shooting, so.
Principal photography?
Yes.
Okay.
So whatever this is, it's just kind of, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, so we've got a list put together of upcoming Fox Marvel movie schedule, and it's looking like starting in 16, they're actually going to pull off 2 Marvel movies a year.
Yeah, they have 2 scheduled for 2016 and 2 for 2017. At this point, they only have 1 untitled movie in 2018, but there's plenty of time that they could add another one.
Oh, I love this. The last one you put on there, possibility for the 2018, an X-Men Fantastic Four crossover.
That's all just rumors.
I know, but that would be awesome.
And I don't know if they would want to do that because their X-Men universe is pretty well established at this point. And I'm not sure if the Fantastic Four would exist in that same universe or not.
True, but still, just the thought of it would be awesome. Awesome. I don't know. What would your favorite option be for a 2018 Marvel film? X-Force?
Personally?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Personally, I'd want them to do more X-Men stuff. Maybe not with the main team, but like a spin-off team. X-Force.
Yeah, just
work.
More mutants.
Yeah, more mutants. There's just like a wealth of mutants that they can pick from. So just go with something there. Do something interesting, something fun, something compelling, and just go wild. If you want to keep McAvoy and Fassbender in it, hell, do Age of X. That would be interesting. But they're already doing X-Men Apocalypse, and they already did Days of Future Past, so I don't see them doing that one.
Of the list up here, the one I'm least looking forward to is the third Wolverine movie.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I agree. Well, other than the Fantastic Four, I gotta say, I agree there.
So for those of you at home, playing at home and can't really see the list we're talking about, on August of 2015, there's a Fantastic Four movie. That's when it was delayed from June to August. And it's early August, but I'm thinking that the Guardians of the Galaxy success probably prompted their move out of the 4th of July and into the late summer move. But, you know, it could be reshoots or whatever. And then in February of 2016, which is kind of a dead zone with movies, that's when the Deadpool movie is slated to come out.
Dead zone, Deadpool. If they can make it into an R-rated movie, that would be great.
Well, ask and ye shall receive. In May of 2016 is the next X-Men movie, X-Men Apocalypse, and that'll be awesome. That's coming out, of course, around the Memorial Day weekend, so that should be a huge release. And then we've got nothing for almost a full year. In March of 2017, Wolverine 3, which again is a dead zone in terms of movie releases and was the least favorite of everybody here to see released. And then after the 4th of July, July 14th of 2017, that's when Fantastic Four 2 is slated to come out. And then a full year later, July 13th of 2018, is the untitled Marvel film. Now, for those of you playing at home again, what would you like to see in that 2018 slot? Go ahead, hit us up on the form, voicemail, whatever, and let us know what you want to see there.
And keep in mind, Fox has the rights to all of the mutants and the Fantastic Four. They've got Galactus, the Silver Surfer. Is there any other major characters they have that wouldn't be covered by that?
I would need to check and see.
I think that's about it, though.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Well, we'll open it up for everybody. If you have something interesting, that would be awesome. If you wanted to do a crossover or more of an ensemble movie, even more so than X-Men are, yeah, that would be great, too. Just let us know. So, you gals got anything else for the news this week?
Nope.
I don't think so.
All righty. So, this week, we sat down and we listened to some audio that Kier from Gallifrey Public Radio, thank you very much, Kier. Once again, Gallifrey Public Radio, the best Doctor Who podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. And in my opinion, one of the best Doctor Who podcasts out there, period.
I think we're the only one on the GunnaGeek network.
Oh, you just caught that, did you?
In any event, Kier went to Dragon Con, and last week you heard the audio of the Science of Avengers and S.H.I.E.L.D. panel. Well, this week we had some audio of the Gunn Brothers panel. That's Sean and James Gunn of Guardians of the Galaxy fame, among other things. So they actually sat down. Now, the audio isn't really good enough to release. If you really need to hear it, hit me up and I will send you the audio. But we're just going to talk about it here and then you'll get a sense of what was said. Kier apologized. He said it wasn't the most optimal in recording positions in the room. So, okay, I can get that. It happens from time to time. But there were some great questions asked, one of which they started out asking, well, so you're a brother and you're working for your other brother. So how'd that work out?
And they said, you know, they've both worked before in this industry and they know what the relationship is between an actor and a director. And just because they're brothers doesn't mean that they don't know how to work together. And also that because they're brothers, they kind of trust each other and they know what each of them is capable of.
That's a really nice, mature answer. I know if it was me and my sister, that would not be the way that things would be going.
Yeah, I work in the same place as my brother, and that is not the case with us.
My sister and I work together on an annual basis for a few things. And one of the things that we do is we put together on the 4th of July a float in our lake place and we dress it up. And we've done Avengers before. We did Angry Birds one year. And this past year we did the little Despicable Me guys.
Oh, the Minions.
Yes, we were one in a Minion. That was our float. So we all dress like Minions and whatever. And it's great. We have water fights and everything. And it's a lot of fun. But we work together to get that done. Now, I will say, though, it is one day out of 365 that we're actually working together on a project. So that might have something to do with the fact that we work well. But in any event, it was great hearing those two. And also another question that I've written down, the next question, and stop me, ladies, if I'm missing something, but they asked what the prospects would be of having Ms. Marvel in the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Yeah, and James Gunn said that he likes the character and everything, but he doesn't want a lot of other humans running around in his cosmic universe. So he doesn't plan on introducing her through Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
And he also mentioned, I think this was a question where he mentioned this, that there were a lot of other female characters in Guardians of the Galaxy, the comics, that he thinks it would be cool to bring in.
Yes.
And I would love to see some of those. I'm still reading through the Dan Abnett run right now, and I would love to see Mantis or Phi Lavelle in the comic, in the movie.
Yeah, as long as they introduce Ms. Marvel somewhere.
I think it's inevitable that they're going to. Right now, it seems like the question is when and where.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. That's kind of my next big reveal in the Marvel Universe is the Carol Danvers character. So that will be awesome wherever it pops up. And if it happens to be in Guardians of the Galaxy, that'd be awesome. But I can wait.
It would be kind of cool if they introduced her in the Jessica Jones series, considering that her and Jessica do end up becoming pretty good friends in the comics. But I don't know what the odds of that are.
No, you know, it's probably not so far flung. I could see that happening and then transitioning into a greater role. I mean,
yeah, especially considering that Jessica Drew, who is also a good friend of both Carol Danvers and Jessica Jones, I don't think is owned by Marvel right now. I'm not really sure what the status of her is. Mm.
Is she Spider-Woman?
Yeah.
Okay, probably Sony has her.
Well, I can definitely see something like that happening because we've seen successful cross-character involvement in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I can see that happening in other places as well. So we'll just keep our eye on it. Haha, Nick Fury joke. So The next thing that I have in my notes, it was actually kind of a heartwarming comment, was Lloyd Kaufman, who is basically a mentor for James Gunn.
And also the head of Troma Films.
True. I didn't realize this until this question was stated, but he had a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy as one of the prisoners when they first show up to the prison. And the question was, well, we didn't see him die, although I think the assumption is everybody in the prison is dead, but we didn't see him die. So what is the possibility of him coming back as another cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah. And he's like, well, first he mentioned that James Gunn mentioned that Lloyd Kaufman has had a cameo in every movie that he's directed, mm-hmm. which I'm going to have to go back and like rewatch Super and Slither and look for that. And then he mentioned, well, maybe we'll see him again, or maybe we'll just see his like severed head floating through space, which would be very much in the Troma vein. So,
yeah, that was funny. So also a question was asked on, so saw a Missouri State flag in the background of Peter Quill when he was coming out of the hospital or those early scenes there in Guardians of the Galaxy. So what exactly is the town name that Peter Quill is from?
If I remember and he right, was like, kinda, oh. Yeah, they just kind of sidestepped that question. Because the guy who asked the question, I think, was from Missouri.
Right.
But he did say something about St. Charles.
The St. Charles area.
Yes. So that was interesting and evasive enough. I mean, if you're going to put a state flag somewhere, it's got to be in that state somewhere. But if you're talking about maybe shooting location rights for a future movie, I can see wanting to be a little nebulous there before nailing something down. A great question was asked about, and I'm not sure I got the whole gist of the question here. This is kind of where the audio was failing me a little bit, but they were talking about the mocap and the challenges of the movie.
And they talked about how in their movie, it's not motion capture as much as it is motion reference.
It's less like an Andy Serkis thing than it is. They'll have, as far as I understand it and remember from the question, they'll have somebody there and they'll be acting alongside the other actors. But it's at the animator's whim to embellish or change things.
Yeah,
to
make it funnier
or better.
It makes it easier for the other actors because they have something to play against. And then you're not trying to map a human's responses onto a raccoon's face like you would if you did mocap in the case of Rocket and Sean Gunn.
Or Planet of the Apes with Andy Serkis or something like that. Yeah.
Andy Serkis is Rocket. That would have been interesting.
Wasn't that one of the early thoughts that maybe he'd come in and do it?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I think it was just internet rumblings.
Yeah. It probably was. There's always internet rumblings.
Always the internet. So when's the last time you guys listened to Awesome Mix number one?
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
A couple days ago.
Listen to it in the shower after a ran today. But a question was asked in the panel if James already has his songs selected for Awesome Mix number two.
And he said some of them.
He also had a great comment on Spirit in the Sky, saying that wasn't one of the ones that he had picked out, but it was part of the trailer. So he was glad that it actually ended up in the Awesome Mix.
I do like that song, so I am also glad that it was there.
It's hard for me to hear that song and not think of Apollo 13, though, because it was one of the songs in Apollo 13, and I didn't know if that was a reference I was supposed to get or if it was just coincidence.
I hear it, and I think of, there's a documentary that I saw a few years ago. I can't remember if it was Jesus Camp or if it was, there was a documentary I saw, it was about churches in Colorado. I don't think it was at the end of Jesus Camp, but it was about the same time that I saw Jesus Camp. But at the end of the trailer, they played, I mean, at the end of the trailer, at the end of the documentary, they played that. And I can't remember what the documentary was called now.
Interesting. Colorado does have some rockin' churches. And I don't mean that by...
No, they were saying that Colorado has, weirdly enough, one of the highest per capita church densities in the U.S.
And they're amazing in their construction. Anything from open amphitheaters, like Red Rock sort of thing, to the Air Force Academy Chapel, to some just amazing monastery type churches, stuff like that. I used to live out in Colorado, so I know a thing or two about it, but... It is
Jesus camp.
Oh, it is interesting out there, Colorado, definitely. I have never heard of H+ before until this panel, but Sean Gunn apparently was cast in H+, and he was asked about it. Did you guys catch anything about that?
That was on one of the parts that I couldn't really hear.
I know.
Yeah, he talked about it. I had never heard of it before.
Right. So there was a question asked about H+ and Sean, and he answered it, so... Also, he was asked about how he was able to pull together both the seriousness, James was, asked about the seriousness and the comedy in Guardians of the Galaxy. And it was a very interesting answer that he gave, probably the best tidbit to me of the entire panel. And he said the key to the whole thing was Rocket, because he was bat crazy, but... He was also an adorable monster. Basically, that was it. An adorable monster.
Yes. This was the part where I could start to hear again. And I, of course, started paying attention because it's Rocket.
Right.
And he's talking about how Rocket, just everyone can empathize with him. Not only because he's cute and fuzzy and angry, but because he is something that, when you think about it, is just so fundamentally alone in the universe.
And if you can fall in love with the character and you can fall in love with the story, it's the way into it. So if you love Rocket, who is alone in the universe, as you said, and then you can like the story. And he thought of the characters as his children. And once he made that sort of mental jump, it enabled him to do this, because kids are funny, but it's also serious too. So, I mean, you can have great interaction with kids. I have three of them, and yes, you can have great funny times, but yeah, there's also scary times too, and whether it's intentional or not, accident, whatever. So, I can see the seriousness in comedy once you think of them as children, and if you thought Rocket was a kid, that was great too. So, it was interesting to get just a little bit of tidbit into his mind.
There's also a really interesting Island of Dr. Moreau comparison there.
Yeah, true.
With regards to the experimentation on Rocket.
And then there was a question. I knew I skipped a bunch here, but I couldn't hear it. So if you ladies have something, please speak up. But there was a mention of the casting story and the chemistry, particularly between Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista. And James Gunn said that it took Marvel and Disney a while to buy in on this casting, because they did not see Chris Pratt and Dave Bautista in this movie.
I remember hearing about that, actually, and about how, I don't remember who they wanted as Star-Lord, but Chris Pratt, they kept passing him over because he was the fat guy from Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Jump forward to the shirtless scene in the prison. Uh-huh.
I still love, there's so many GIFs on Tumblr of him talking about how, that's the way he's like, mostly I just cried it off and then it was not eating anything fun.
I'll tell you, out of all of them, out of Hemsworth, Evans, Robert Downey Jr., whatever, this transformation is the one that I was serious. I left the movie and I drove straight to the gym and I worked out, because that was an amazing thing, because I watched Chris Pratt in Parks and Rec.
He takes off his shirt regularly in Parks and Rec. There's this one episode where, what's his name?
Rob Lowe's.
Rob Lowe's character. I was about to call him Chris, because that's his character's name, Chris Traeger. Right. He's trying to get Andy Dwyer
into shape.
Into shape. So Andy runs like 5 steps and is like, oh, this is awful. Takes off clothes and just collapses on the track.
And he did not look like he was in shape.
No,
he looks like...
He looks like an average, like, he used to play sports in high school and then, you know...
And then started never eating did a lot anything. Of pizza and drinking a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was amazing. So I'm glad that they did it. And if you think back to Star Wars and the ensemble casting that George Lucas did, this had a very similar feel to me to it, because what sold James Gunn about casting these guys was not necessarily them individually, but definitely how they were playing off each other. And
well, no, James Gunn wanted both of them before, but it's how he sold them to Disney was by having them do some scenes together so they could see the chemistry between these two guys.
And it definitely worked out. So thank you very much. The last note that I have is there was a question on an Easter egg, meaning it was there an Easter egg that you wanted to put in the movie that you couldn't for whatever reason? And he said, he thought about it for a second and said, yes, there was one. And it had to deal with the Stan Lee cameo. And he retailed the story of the Stan Lee cameo that we never saw.
Yeah. And we talked about this before. It's the one where Stan Lee is in the case and he flips off Groot. But you know, he was talking about one of the reasons they couldn't do it. Well, no, this wasn't a reason they couldn't do it, but this is why they had a stand-in. It's because Stan Lee's health wouldn't allow him to travel at the time. And it made me think that someday we're going to live in a world without Stan Lee. I know it. It made me super bummed out for the rest of the panel.
Yeah, and that might be why my notes stopped there. But you got to figure...
Some things are just too upsetting to contemplate, okay?
With all these super soldier serums out there and everything, you'd think we could get one working for Stan Lee, right?
That's what Marvel is doing with all the profits from these movies.
We need more Stan Lee. We just need another year or two with him. Come on, man. Come on. So,
we need like another century or two with him.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So my college used to have this program. It was called the Missiplicity Project. It was because somebody wanted to clone their dog named Missy. And they spent I don't know how many millions of dollars trying to clone this dog. And it turns out that it's really hard to clone dogs because their reproductive cycles are all sorts of weird. But that's what we need. We need a Stan Lee-plicity project.
Okay, we're going to get a Kickstarter going, guys. Let's get on this.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be easier to clone humans, right?
Yeah, we're not complicated.
We'll just, you know, sail a boat out to international waters.
Well, what was that in Contact? Wasn't her...
There was that guy that was floating
in space. Yeah, just to prolong his life. Yeah, we need to get...
Which I don't think would actually work.
No, he ended up dying, I think, near the end in Contact.
Well, yeah.
But it did prolong his life for a while. I think we could get Stan Lee up to space and have a few extra years while we work on this formula.
Yeah, but the Russians would have to take him up there.
Do we really trust the Russians with Stan Lee?
Well...
Yeah, think of all those comics he wrote about them in the 60s.
Yeah, seriously, man. Okay, I can see some Hydra stuff happening. Yeah. So we need to construct...
And this is for Whiplash. And this is for Omega Red.
And this is for all of the Crimson Dynamos. There were like 6 or 7 of them.
There were like a whole... There was like a ridiculous redundancy of Crimson Dynamos.
Yeah, like they could field a lacrosse team. I don't know how many people are on a lacrosse team, but they could do it.
I don't know either.
You know, I didn't know lacrosse is a real sport until like
until Teen Wolf.
No, like I don't know. It was until like late high school, early college. We made up a team poster for it. This one club that I was in high school, they gave us the responsibility once and only once of decorating for a pep rally. And after our skit in which we murdered a guy with a lightsaber in the middle of the floor and made posters for clubs that didn't exist, including the lacrosse team, they said that we were not allowed to do that anymore. I thought lacrosse was fake at that point. So
I honestly don't know the difference between lacrosse and field hockey, but...
Me either.
I don't know either.
I'm sure somebody does. Not to minimize either sport.
I know a little bit about lacrosse now because of Teen Wolf. But I don't think I've ever seen field hockey played.
I've never seen a game either. I know lacrosse is actually, you know, college lacrosse is on Fox Sports College or whatever.
I think lacrosse has the sticks with the netted baskets at the end. Doesn't field hockey have more of a scoop? I don't know.
So maybe it's a different sort of ball or puck or something?
I just know how to play Ultimate Frisbee and that's about it.
All right, listeners, call in. We're kind of science nerds. We don't know much about the sports.
No, we don't.
Sports ball. Actually, I know a lot about sports. I just don't know anything about lacrosse and field hockey. I know a lot about curling.
I know about football, and I know about basketball.
Do you know about football
or rich people, East Coast sports.
I know about football. I know very little about football.
Football.
That's a European sport. Well, a rest of the world sport.
It's a rest of the world sport. It's only American sport when there's a big thing going on and we kind of sort of care.
What kind of
then we go back to not caring.
What kind of sport do you think Agent Coulson played in high school?
I bet he was, you know, a track guy.
Think?
He was either track or he's one of those guys that did all the sports, wasn't the star in any of them, but was a member of the team for all of them.
Yeah. Remember that movie Hoosiers, right?
Yes.
Where you had that. So, Lauren, remember the movie?
I saw it a long time ago, like I was a kid.
With the guy that comes off the bench and has to make those baskets because he's fouled and he actually sinks the baskets. Remember that?
Yes, I took great inspiration from that because since I was about 4 feet tall when I was on my school's basketball team, because we had a really tiny school and everyone had to be on the team, I was always benched.
So he didn't actually do the overhead. Didn't he scoop the ball up from down below for his shots?
It's called a granny shot.
Yeah, it's called a granny shot, but no, I can't remember.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did that. And he made a shot, so it was great. So, yeah, that's kind of what I picture him as. And also on the baseball team, kind of picture him kind of as the bat boy. I don't know why.
Oh, I was going to say he's like the second baseman.
Could be. But that, well, he is kind of quick. I mean, we did see him in that convenience store on the way out to New Mexico.
Yeah, and that was before Cree blood.
Yeah, that's true. Or that we know.
I have one more note on mine. Ahead. James Gunn was genetically engineered to make Guardians of the Galaxy.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they said. Because he kept coming up with these ideas that he was like, they're not going to go for it. And he would make the recommendation. They were like, oh, that sounds awesome.
Did he say something like he was worried that he made a recommendation that he thought was impossible to actually make? And they said yes to it. And he had to figure out how to do it. I think I remember hearing that.
I wonder what it was. Did he say?
I can't remember.
I don't remember. Oh, he also said he has a no jerks policy when it comes to actors.
That's awesome.
Good.
So basically, no, what's her name from Transformers?
And Bruce Willis probably won't be in any of the Guardians movies.
Yeah. So Lauren, did you have anything?
No, I think that was about it.
All right. It was a fun panel to listen to. Thank you very much, Kira, for getting us the audio. And for any of you out there that want to hear the audio, just hit me up and I will give you a link to get it. But I have to warn you, it is not the best of audio.
It's difficult to understand what's going on about half the time.
Yeah, and that's after me working on it for a couple of days too, trying to do some post-production on it. So next week, we're going to be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season Woo-hoo! 2, Episode 1, Shadows. Do you guys have any final thoughts about predictions for Season 2 that you want to make at this point in time?
I know there's going to be flashbacks to the 40s with Agent Carter and the Howling Commandos, and Xena's going to be in it, and it's just going to be awesome.
It is.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we've been podcasting all summer. We've stated our theories, or the ladies have stated their theories about the Kree blood or what's going on with the writing and stuff like that. So you can go back and listen to our podcast about that and hear these ladies very excitedly talk about what they think is coming up. For me, I'm just going to enjoy watching it and then talking about it with these two ladies. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, I'll get the podcast out in like the Saturday time frame. So if you guys have thoughts on the episode, please holler your thoughts to any of the ways to contact us. Our website is legendsofshield.com. That'll take you to our page on the GunnaGeek.com website. In the top right-hand corner is all the ways to contact us. The most important one will be our voicemail line. That's 844-THE-BUS-1 or 844-843-2871. We also have the Facebook and Twitter, which you guys have been using greatly. Lauren's going to monitor the Tumblr page for your comments. That'd be awesome. Also, during the season, probably the most centralized place is going to be our forums on the Gunna Geek Network. Just go to the Gunna Geek Network and click on forums. Also, if you want to type in the exact URL, it's forums.gunnageek.com. And on Tapatalk, on your app, on your smartphone, just search for Gunna Geek and that'll take you there. Just go to this episode and list out what you think is going on with the episode of Shadows. And we will talk about it next week. You ladies have anything else for the week?
Be sure to watch S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, watch.
Watch it now. I wish I could watch it now.
We can, but yeah.
Watch it soon.
September 23rd, 2014. Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody that's called in, Willie. Thank you. Thank you to everybody that's written in, Richard and Star Saber and Adana Girl. It was great to hear from you, so thank you very much. We will see you next week. Until then, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.